Hello? Are you there? Are you ready for the word that I have prepared? I know you listen to Adele. Don't be spiritual on me. Yeah. Come on. Take off that saint hat. Well, we want to welcome our visitors. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you. We know it takes a lot of courage to come through a new church, new door, but we welcome you with open arms. I won't sing any. With arms wide open. Okay. So I'm excited. Very excited. But I had I just had this word that I've been pondering on the last 2 weeks. And I believe it's a word for us. And it's just simply this. The tide is turning. The tide is turning. And I even felt it when we were worshiping this morning. There's just a new tide that's coming. And it's not that the waters are getting lower. The waters are getting higher. And it's for us to walk in with no life jacket, trusting God for the greatness of who He is. Amen? Amen. So we're continuing on in our series, Changing Gears, or Gear Change. And today what I want to speak on is God first. Amen? God first. If you have your Bibles with me, you see, I just wanted to make sure you guys were listening. Yeah. If you have your Bibles, iPads, smartphones, come on, I know you all have that. Okay? Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. And I know we're all well-versed at this now. When you get there, let's say, okay. For anybody new, I just like to have fun. Okay? Not like an Elvis, but a little gospel, Okay. If you're there, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. The New Living Translation says this. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, nah, that's not the road we want. How many of us know that that's still the struggle of the Christian life? We want to do things our way. Amen? And so, a couple of weeks ago when we started this, Mark spoke on finding your rhythm. And spoke about coming up with those five things that we just need to be consistent on every day to be successful, whatever that is, in a family context, in a spiritual context, in a work context. And it's one of those five things that we are willing to do every day to see results, to see fruit. And we know that it's a process, right? It doesn't happen overnight. Amen? You can talk to me, okay? Just talk to me. But this is the thing is, for many of us, we have a list, but God's not first on that list. And I know we want to say He is, but we have to really look inside of ourselves this morning and say, really is He first on my list? And so Proverbs 17:24 says this, which I love in the New Living Translation. It says, sensible people keep their eyes glued on wisdom. How many of us want to be a sensible people? But a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. Sensible people keep their eyes glued on wisdom. I think it says that somewhere else in Colossians 3:2. It says, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Amen. Thank you. We didn't even plan that at all. We didn't even plan that. But the whole point of this is we need to start putting God first. He is first. And whatever we do, we have to put Him first to set what? To set the tone for the day. I love that. To set the tone for the day. You know, this weekend is NFL playoffs, right? My boys aren't in that, so it's okay. I don't care, yeah. But I mean, I relate it to sports, and when you're playing sports, the whole, especially in professional sports, the whole object, the whole objective of it is when you start the game, it's all about setting the tone for the game. In football, it's all about the big tackle or that kickoff, and your receiver catches the ball and runs with it, and your special teams, they all, chest bump and everything. It's like in hockey when my Montreal Canadiens rough up the Toronto Maple something, and they go and they cross check and they're faster than the other team and they're trying to set the tone for the whole game. And that's what we're trying to do every day when we're putting God first. We're trying to set the tone for what this day is going to look like in our lives. Even this morning, we're setting the tone, right? We've set the tone for the Word of God for us to catch it, receive it, let it marinate, let it germinate, and let it bear fruit. Amen. That was for free. So it's all about finding your rhythm, but this morning I want to talk about five disciplines that we need every day for our lives to be successful. And I'm telling you this right now, it's really a simple word this morning, so let's not get complicated. And if you know me by now, I always love to say the Word of God, the gospel is simple, but we make it complicated. So let's just take off all the stuff we've learned and let's almost come this morning saying, oh man, I didn't even know that. Because the worst thing we can do is say, hey, I know that already. Right? You guys are quiet. That's okay though. I'm good with myself. It is well with my soul this morning. So the first thing is, first gear that we want to get into is number one, prayer. Prayer. How many of us have heard a lot on prayer in the last 2 months? How many of us have seen results of prayer in the last 2 months? Wow. You really? You mean prayer works? My goodness. Okay. I mean, we've been doing the 40 days of prayer. And once again, that was just an outline of what we're it was just a guidance for us to pray into the things that we prayed into, right? But it didn't stop there, and I trust it hasn't stopped there. It's just a continual flow now, and it's just part of what we do each and every day. But there's a couple of things that I want to say, just touch on prayer. And this is and these two things. One, we don't pray from a place of fear, but from a place of rest. And I love that because so many times we come to God in a place of fear. Oh my gosh, God, this situation happened. I don't know what to do. I have a sickness. And at the end of the day, God's like, no, that's not the way I want you to come to me. You come to me from a place of rest, of a place of, no, I know who God is. I know who I am. And I know what He's capable of doing. I know what His Word says. So God, won't You do and accomplish what Your Word says would happen if I come to you. That's rest, right? It's not chaotic. It's from a place of, man, I know who my God is, right? And the second thing is this, is we need to not pray out of a place of need, but from a place of identity. Once again, we don't come to God and we say, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. Oh, I need my finances, I need this. No. I have this picture that God says, I don't like that prayer. Because it's not who I am. And so it's really out of a place of identity as a son and daughter that we approach God and we say, God, you already know what I need. But I'm not going to come to you asking, begging you. I mean, with your kids, right? Or in family or whatever, nieces, nephews, you know, I'm not going to single out just parents. But with kids, when you go to the store, do you want them to come and say, Daddy, I need this. Daddy, I need this. Can I have this? Can I have that? Are you actually going to give it to them? You won't, because you're trying to teach them, no, that's not the way you approach me. If you want something, you don't come to me from a place of need, but I want to bless you because of who you are. You're part of my family. So you don't have to come to me begging for something. I'm going to give it to you because you're a son and you're a daughter. Amen? And if you do that, then don't. That's okay. but three things to help cultivate in prayer. One is time. Let's just find some time, no matter what that looks like to you. Remember, it's not the quality, it's the quantity. Oh, it's not. Oh, sorry. That's right. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. Okay? And so whatever that looks like to you, whatever time that looks like to you, you may even have 5 minutes. Trust me. I know how chaotic it can be in the morning, getting kids to school, breakfast made, kids dress. I know. And for the next, I don't know how many years, that's going to be my life. But you find time. You find time to pray. Second thing is you find a place. And not just, be specific where you want to spend time with God and pray. Be specific. Okay? Because even Jesus, it says that in Mark 1:35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So Jesus did it. Right? So how much more do you think we need to do that? But find a place. Even if it's in the shower, in the bathroom, in a closet, whatever it is. I'm just laughing to myself because none of those things, I don't have a bathroom, because when you have all girls, yeah. Right, Sam? Okay. And the third thing is, have a plan. Have a plan when you pray. Maybe you just need to start journaling. Write things down, right? But have a plan. It's the same way in Luke when we went through. Once again, it's not the Lord's Prayer, but it was an outline on how to pray. Use that. Keep using it until you're like, man, okay, I don't need to do this anymore. I know how to pray. I know how to give God thanks. Amen? Is this good? Second thing, second discipline is the Word. I might just get a little excited when it comes to the Word, because it's the Word. It's the Word of God. And Hebrews 4:12, once again, I mean, this is going to be all familiar to you. But let's just remember, don't hear what I'm saying, but this is the heart of the Father to us for this season. It says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. How many would love to come to a book that's alive and powerful and make a difference every day in our life. Well, that's what the Word of God does. That's what the Word of God does. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fall. But what? The Word of God endures forever. Joshua 1:8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. It's all about the Word of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's the Word. Psalm 1:1-3 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. It's all about the Word and getting the Word in you, in me. You see, the Word of God needs to be back as top priority in our lives again. Talk about gear changing. It's all about the Bible, the Word of God being priority once again in our lives. And not in just our lives, but in our families' lives as well. Because remember, every answer you need is where? It's in the Word. Every answer you need is in the Word. And you see, it's time for our lives to shift more to the Word and not to man. Now listen, I know you have elders, we're pastors, you have counselors, you have people that you watch on TV and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's all about the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God. Because everything you need is in the Word. Because you see, it's the Word that's going to sustain you. It's the Word that's going to sustain you. What does the Bible say? The Bible says when you're anxious, if you're struggling with being anxious, it says, be anxious. For what? For nothing. But in what? Everything. By prayer, petition, and supplication. Sorry. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And what? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You see, it's the Word, right? It's the Word that says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. It's His peace. You guys are quiet this morning. But it's all about the Word of God. It's all about the Word that says I'm more than a conqueror. That says I can do all things through Christ who what? It's all about His Word in us. And when I've done all to stand, when it feels as though my life is chaotic and everything around me is not working out, the Word of God says what? When I've done all to stand, stand. That's the Word. And that's the Word of God that all of us need to come back to that place. That we're not swayed by winds of doctrine and all the isms and schisms. But it comes back to the Word of God. And that is my foundation. Amen. Psalm 45:7 says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God your God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. And you see, the oil of joy is all over the Word of God. And when you get the Word of God in you, then it releases joy to you and releases nutrients, which causes you to flourish. It causes you to flourish. That's the heart of the Father. I want you to flourish, but you can't flourish without knowing what my word says. Amen? We're getting quiet. Okay. Number three, worship. Worship. I love worship. But how many of us know that worship is not just songs? So talk about getting into gear three. There needs to be a shift that takes place when it comes to worship. Because worship is not songs. Worship is our life towards the Father. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's an attitude of thanksgiving. It's an attitude of praise for what he's done, who he is. So when the Bible says that he's made us to worship, he's created us for worship. It's not that he's created us to sing. He created us to worship. Thanksgiving, worship. Praise, worship. Giving, worship. In my workplace, worship. In my schools, worship. Worship is a lifestyle, and it affects everything we do each and every day. You see, our lives should exude the goodness of God. Our lives should exude his goodness. Everywhere we go, people should just say, man, your life exudes something. And I don't know what you have. I don't know what you're on. But I want some of that. Amen. Agree. That's what amen means. Okay, so, amen. You guys are really quiet this morning. So we worship God in our speech, in our thoughts, in our marriages, in our giving, in our workplaces, in our school systems, in our community, when we go shopping, when we go to the mall. Are we getting this? Your life is worship. In Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. But I love especially what it says in Galatians 2:20. Once again, very familiar to us. But it says what? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I love what it says in the message. Listen to this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I love this part. And it says, I am not going to go back on that. In other words, you could take that to the bank and cash it. I'm not going back on that. You see, your life is not your own. It's not. Sorry. Huh? When you accepted Christ, that person died. This new man rose up. And that's the man that Christ cares and loves and thinks you're so awesome and wonderful and beautiful and lovely. Amen? But yeah, Kevin, you don't understand. Times are tough. I get the whole prayer and the word stuff, but sometimes it is hard to worship with my life. I understand. I mean, Job said it best in Job 13:15. He says, though He slay me. What? Yet will I hope in him. I mean, Job lost everything. And I still can't even get it how he can say, though he slay me, though he kill me, yet will I hope in him. Man, that's the kind of faith I want to have. I can lose everything and still say, my hope is in him. I wrote this down. It says, we are all going through changing gears together. We're all in it together. And some of us are embracing it. Some of us are resisting it. It's challenging. You feel like giving up sometimes. But I hear the Holy Spirit say to tell you to keep pressing through. Keep worshiping. Keep praising. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your hope. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. The fourth thing is fellowship. Fourth thing is fellowship. How many of us know that it's important for fellowship? I thought I'd get a resounding yes. But I'll tell you what it is about fellowship. It's all about getting around with the right people. The right people, not negative people. Right? It's all about hanging around with the right people. We don't want to hang around with negative people. At least I don't want to hang around with negative people. And when you're around people with negativity, you know what the best way to combat people that are negative? You know what the best way? You're talking with somebody and they're negative. You know what you do? You don't entertain it. It's that simple. Don't entertain it. But here's what we should do. We don't let them be negative. But we give them what heaven's perspective of them. We give them heaven's perspective of them. Because heaven's perspective says this. Hey, you can't be negative because that's not who God has called you to be. And accountability is not beating them down. But accountability is letting them know that there's more to them than they think there is. In other words, accountability is this, is Janine, that's not who God has called you to be. But you know what? This is who he is. And you raise that person up and you speak life and say, but that's not who you are. This is who you are in Christ. He's given you a new mind. He's given you a new heart. You are love. You are joy because he's in you. Therefore, that negative mindset can't exist in you. And you call them to a higher place. You don't let them settle where they are, but you call them to a higher place in Christ. Amen? I hope this is helpful. Hebrews 3:13 says this, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How many know that day is drawing near? So how many of us know that we need each other more than ever before? So let's practice relating to each other through heaven's identity in each other. Okay? Let's practice relating to each other through heaven's identity of each other. And at the end of the day, it's what is heaven's perspective of this person? What is heaven's perspective of this person? And when you look through those lenses, something shifts. Because now you're not looking through your lenses, but you're looking through Christ's lenses. Amen? I'll finish this. Heaven's perspective motivates to go higher, wider, and deeper. And the reason why I'm pausing is because I just feel in the book of Matthew, Jesus goes to his disciples and says, "Hey guys, who do people say that I am?" And they go, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elisha. Some say you're other prophets. And then he goes and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And then Peter, gotta love Peter, chimes in and says, "You are the Christ." The disciples had four skewed they had four skewed perceptions of who Christ is. And I'm pausing now because for some of us in here, we have a skewed perspective of who Christ is. And this morning I really sense that God wants to show you heaven's perspective of who he is. He wants to show you through his Spirit who he is. Which brings us to, I didn't shift my gears, but that's okay. The fifth gear, the fifth discipline, which I think sums it all together. And if you were with us last week, Mike did a wonderful job. Mike Graves, that was with us, did a wonderful job speaking about the Lordship of Christ, not knowing that this was already prepared even before then. So number five is Lordship. Number five is Lordship. And Lordship of Christ sums up this whole entire thing. It sums it all up together. And as we heard, some have Jesus as Savior, friend, but we need to make him Lord and Master. We need to learn to walk in the freshness of his supremacy in our lives each and every day. Colossians 1:15 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." That's the Lordship of Christ. That all things, all dominion, all authority, all power is his. That the earth is his footstool. You gotta love that. It's his footstool. Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Church, 2016, in this season, at this time, we need to understand and ask the Holy Spirit for a revelation of what the Lordship of Christ means. Because once we get Lordship, everything else falls in its place. Once we understand Jesus as Lord, not just something we sing about, but really down in the pit of our spirit, we understand, man, He is Lord. How can I live this way? How can I talk this way? How can I live this way? How can I not go to His Word? How can I not pray to Him who is Lord over my life? That because of Him, I live. How can we? That Jesus went to a cross and He didn't just die for me, He died as me. That is Lord, the Lord that we serve. That is the Lord we serve. So, I believe a shift is taking place in our hearts. And there's a shift that God has taken each and every single one of us through. And if you know anything about gear changing, sometimes you get stuck. Sometimes you use the word stalled. And for some of us in here, I think you feel as though, man, Kev, I don't know how to even get from gear 1 to gear 5. And there's a lie that says, I'm stuck. But I came here this morning to tell you that you're not stuck. You're in a shift. You're in a shift. And all you have to do is be open to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To the clutch, the accelerator, and the gearbox. You hearing me? Those are the three things that you need to get to your destination when gear changing. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit is what you need to get to your destination. Amen. That's okay. I can amen myself. But I'm trusting you're hearing this. Allie, can you come to the keys? And this is what the shift is. The shift is actually turning your eyes to the Lordship of Christ and how big He is. And I'm just reiterating this. Once we determine that in our hearts, everything else falls into place. I love what Max Lucado says. He says, blessed is the man who knows that there is only one God and stops applying for the position. But church, we always apply for the position every day. It's time for us to shift that mindset and let God be God in our lives in 2016. Because here's another thing, and I didn't want to take this long, but I just feel compelled just to say this. Every year, at the end of the year, going into a new year, some of us say, man, that was a hard year. Yeah, I didn't like that year. Man, that year sucked. And some of us even had good years. Whatever the case is, Understand this, is no year is a bad year in Christ. I know that's like, shoo. You have to understand, you and I, we're in Christ Jesus. So how could we say that was a bad year? Do we serve a bad God? He's still good. It doesn't matter what kind of year we had in 2015. Christ is still good. Christ is still the cornerstone. He's still my peace. He's still my joy. He still is who he said he is in his word. So it doesn't matter what 2015 looked like, sounded like, tasted like. I know the word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so that mindset, let's shift out of that mindset. It may have been difficult, but guess what? 2015, 2016, you know what? You're going to have difficult times. But you know what the word of God says? It says, in this life you will have tribulation, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. Are you hearing the heart of the Father this morning, church? These were basics. But let us practice these basics each and every day so that we can be a fruitful people. We can be a mature people in Christ. Amen? For some of us this morning, you may be struggling in one of these areas. And I don't want to take too much time, but if that is you, how about you take a step of faith, come to the front, or you can even stand up where you are and deal with it in your seat if you're not comfortable with that. But I don't want us to leave here without doing business with God and saying, God, I repent. And I turn from what I was doing. And I said in my heart that you are going to be Lord. You're going to be Lord of my life this year. Because everything lines up with him being Lord. And so if that is you, you can come forward. You can stay where you are. And I'm just going to pray general. I'm just going to pray over all of us, actually, just for time's sake. And so, Father, we thank you. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning that is challenging our hearts, that is causing us to go higher and deeper and wider in you. Father, our desire is that you'd be Lord of our lives. We thank you, our Savior, that you are our friend. We thank you, O God, that you're with us every step of the way. But Father, today we want you to be Lord in all that we do. We want you to be Lord in our conversations, in our marriages, in our kids' lives, oh God. We want you to be Lord in our workplaces, oh God. We want to walk underneath the Lordship of Christ. And Father, we don't want to be swayed by this culture. But Father, we want our eyes to be set on your kingdom and what you're calling us to do for your kingdom. And so Father, tonight, or this morning, Father, we choose in our hearts, oh God, and we determine in our hearts, oh God, that you are going to be Lord. And Father, we thank you that you will take us through that process each and every day of being in the Word, of communicating with you, which is called prayer, of our lives being worship before you, and through our fellowship with each other. Father, that is how we will show our lordship to you, that you are Lord, that you are Master. Because, Father, that is our hearts this morning, to be obedient to your call, to your will for our lives, oh God, as a church and as a family and as individuals. Father, I pray you'd bless each and every person here. And Father, that this word would be planted deep within our soul, oh God, within our spirit. And Father, we would not let anybody try and steal this word from us this morning. But Father, we thank you that this is good soil. And we thank you for the fruitfulness that will come because of the deposit of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.